Well, welcome back to YAG. I hope that you are excited to resume the study of the book of Ecclesiastes. A few days ago, it was 1st of July, and we officially entered the second half of the year. Very fast, huh? I don't know how your first half of the year has been, but just reflecting on how the last month went. Of course, our last interaction was the YAG outing. I do not have many photos, so this is a group photo. This is all I have. This was taken by me of the adventurous people who went down the trail. Have not, right? Some of you see yourselves here. I looked at my iPhoto and I only took these two photos. So be thankful that you are amongst the company of the excited. But that was our last interaction as a YEG. And over the past month, I think we all had different experiences, right? Pastor Mark and I went to Osaka. I will print after I'm done. No, sorry. It's a side conversation. The chairperson is usually not supposed to be talking to the notes. I think Susan not here, so I'll go and print later. But so Pastor Mark and I went over to Osaka. And you know, in Ecclesiastes we talk about eating and the futility of some of these things. Let me show you some futile photos. If you look at the first week there was every day was Wagyu in a different form. So some variety, right? There was Kobe beef, then a huge T-bone steak done in a yakiniku style. So they showed the huge T-bone steak, then after that they took it and they prepared the different parts differently. Then there was this, that, and the other. By the end of the first week, Pastor Mark asked me, are we eating anything else apart from beef? So we ate other things. Apart from that, of course, we went to Universal Studios. Hey, I said I was going to show. Yeah, so this is what it feels like. Reverse. If you get to go to Universal Studios Japan, it's actually quite fun. Okay, so it's a whole Harry Potter land, and then the Super Nintendo World is very fun. That is Mario Kart. So we went on a ride, and then you get to ching, ching, ching. And I bought the thing where you ching, ching, ching. Okay, apart from that, we also did some international appreciation. So we went to the World Expo. This one got no pictures because we were hot and sweaty and grouchy. Because it was very hot, but we managed to appreciate pavilions from a whole host of different countries. You know, and it was a good time. But over the past half year, and we can look back and appreciate the Lord's goodness, and there was a time where the Lord allowed for things that we could enjoy. But over the past half year, we also appreciated that it was mixed with things that were challenging. It was mixed with challenges, you know, and it reminds me of what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. You know, and it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. You know, and as we look at our lives, so fast half a year has passed. You know, and we look back at half a year, you can trace certain parts of our lives where the Lord allows us to enjoy. But there are certain parts of our lives where there was a time where we have to appreciate challenges that come our way. You know, and this section in Ecclesiastes, of course, he lists a time for this, a time for that, right? A time to be born, a time to die. That's the next slide. a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. You know, and over the past half year, I mean, we celebrate many births, but we also appreciate that there were deaths. And about 2 weeks ago, I just attended the wake of a colleague of mine, diagnosed with pancreatic cancer just 1 year ago. Just 1 year. And immediately after diagnosis, it was stage four, and he had to stop work. And before you know it, life is gone. You know, and Nick, the subsequent parts of that section just talks about the fact that really different things happen to us, and there's a time for everything that happens. You know, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. You know, and that juxtaposition of the joys we find in life and also the challenges, the struggles, and the griefs sometimes can lead one to, like what Solomon ended up with, you know, as we appreciated, a sense of futility. You know, but Solomon, I really appreciate the moments where there were enlightened moments, because in this section, he also muses about work, right? What profit has the worker from that in which he labors, right? So the thing about holiday is, after the holidays come the work, right? And then when you go back to work, people will ask you, how were your holidays? Then your immediate answer is, too short, right? You know, and you look at the juxtaposition of all of these things, how do we understand it? And we can't. You know, and as you step into the second half of the year, you know, I was wondering, how do we understand all of these things, remembering what we learned from the book of Ecclesiastes? You know, and I appreciate, once again, verses 10 and 11, right? When it said, where Solomon says, I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied, and that recurring thought that he has made everything beautiful in its time. We do not understand why things happen, but we can be assured that he has made everything beautiful in its time. You know, and in verse 14, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added, nothing can be, and nothing taken. God does it that men should fear before him. You know, and as we take some time, or you probably would have taken some time to look back at the first half of the year, ups and downs, different a time for different things in our lives. You know, but to be able to be assured that this is the God that we worship, that he has made everything beautiful in its time. You know, and in sorrow, in pain, or in joy and in laughter, we can practice what it means to fear the Lord. You know, and that is the thought that I start the second half of the year with, that we seek to practice the fear of the Lord. You know, and this week in Grace Works, Pastor Mark wrote about the fear of the Lord, you know, and links it to love. You know, and links it to love. And I thought that this afternoon we will sing a song that Gabriel wrote, although he's not here. Is he in Super Nintendo World also? No. Where is he? Mardi? Oh, Bali. Okay, no. There's a real card, no Nintendo card. but Gabe shared this song earlier this year in February. Recently, I think the musicians played it as either prelude or postlude in one of the worship services. And I really appreciate this song. You know, I will love you, O Lord. You know, and it ties to Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5 as well, where practicing the fear of the Lord means also loving the Lord and learning to love the Lord, you know, with all our hearts, all our souls, and all our strength. You know, and as we begin the second half of the year, we do not know what's going to happen. Whether it's ups, it's downs, we don't know what will happen. But let's step into the second half of the year determined that this is the God that we believe in, a God that has made everything beautiful in its time, whether it's in grief or whether it's in joy. You know, and this is the faith that we want to be able to exercise. And as we practice the fear of the Lord, let's tell the Lord, I will love you, O Lord. You are my strength. You are my rock. You are my life. So let's just sing this song together. It's if you don't remember it, you can pick it up. It's very, very easy. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Cheng Ki, for leading us in a time of worship. And indeed, that was a beautiful song to share. And hopefully, we will continue to renew our love for the Lord. Well, let's pray, and then we can look at Ecclesiastes. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to give thanks for a good break and that we can come back to your house and to begin YAG again. We pray that you will continue to lead us and guide us as we seek to be enlightened through your word. And we pray that you will help us to continue to look to you for your guidance. We pray that you will bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come to the end of chapter 6. In chapter 6, really we've been looking at, you know, how do we consider different challenges and looking at the question of contentment, whether we are satisfied or not, and yet at the same time being able to appreciate what God has already given to us and being able not to end up being covetous towards the things of this world. Now, we're going to continue to explore this idea. And I've been getting feedback concerning our study, and I'm glad that our study of Ecclesiastes has been most relevant and food for thought for you concerning your life, concerning your career, concerning decisions in life. Okay, so let's look at verse 10 to 12, and then we will end with chapter 6. Okay, look, verse 10. Whatever one is, he has been named already. For it is known that he is man, and he cannot contend with him who is mightier than he. Since there are many things that increase vanity, how is man the better? Now, sometimes it's good for us to ask ourselves, how do we really look at men, at ourselves? So I hope you, as we come to the end of the first 6 months and we're going into the next half of the year, it's good to take time to review, to evaluate things. And it's good to understand our problems, our challenges, and what it may, there are what we call consequences as a result. Okay, so when you look at this text, it says, whatever one is, he has been named already. Okay? For it is known that he is man. Now, the problem with man is, and sometimes when we look at ourselves and we look deep inside, it's the inclinations that we have. The sinful inclinations that causes us to pursue things that, we think that, okay, this is what we want to do. And part of our problem is our own pride and arrogance. To think that these are things that we want to be able to achieve. It could be a desire for higher position or status or achievement. It could be one thing or another. If you were to look at what's happening in America, you have a president who is doing all kinds of things that is affecting the world. And then you had this tiff between him and Elon Musk, right? They were best buddies, and now they are best enemies, right? And so you ask yourself, what's that all about, right? But that's part of the problem. Men, they just desire to do certain things and they think that can, okay, we want to achieve this, we want to do that. that becomes an issue. And part of the problem when you talk about rulers and kings, and they end up always thinking, okay, I want to achieve this, I want to do that, I want to do things that nobody has done before. I want to build a great empire. Part of the problem is that you don't really understand what man is. Okay, so what happens is that you may end up contending with God. That is the problem. He cannot contend with him who is mightier than he. And many people don't recognize this. You can't contend with God, but they end up doing that. Okay? Because in seeking to do more, we end up having to contend with God because of our arrogance. And that's part of the problem. We don't really understand our position as men, right? We can achieve things, we can do this, we want to make a name for ourselves. Next week, we'll talk about what a good name is. So that's different. But sometimes we want to, it is about being famous, it's about being the greatest, it's about trying to do things that nobody has achieved before. And yet, sometimes we realize that it really cannot be done. We end with frustrations. And one of the things that is discovered, you cannot be mightier than God. You end up having to contend with God, and God has to humble you, and you realize God is far mightier in more ways than one. So that's part of the problem with men, right? If you were to see, I mean, we've been studying Ezekiel and previously we were looking at Isaiah and Jeremiah. And, you know, so you have Lucifer, right? You had illusions where you have the king of Tyre, and there were illusions concerning Satan. And one of the things that he wanted to do was to be greater than even God himself. That's part of the problem with men. We always want to do so much more, but we don't recognize where we are. And sometimes it's good to be reminded. Now, there's nothing wrong with achieving things in life, but it's always with a great sense of humility and understanding our place before God. But when man seeks to be almost like God, that is where the danger lies. When you tend to think that, well, I can even play God, in a sense. That is the danger. So let's just very quickly turn to Psalm 8. We studied this before, but I thought it would be good just for us to be reminded of this. And in Psalm 8, we read that we are but men. Right? And when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man? Right? That you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him. You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him a little lower than angels is, you know, it's an exaggeration, right? Actually, we are very much lower than angels. But what is man? Have you asked yourself, lady? What are you? What is man? Right? We all tend to think what we want to do rather than what are we truly. Right? And we tend to think that we are good, we are all right, we want to do this, we want to do that. But yet, we are but men. We are nothing. We are just a tiny speck in a whole grand scheme of things. We are really nothing at all. Right? And who we are, ultimately, If we are approaching it correctly, then it's all about God. It is about who He is rather than who we are. But when we seek to do all the things about, oh, we want to do this, we want to do that, then it becomes a problem. Any of you, okay, I didn't realize you all didn't have the notes. Anybody needs the notes? Right? And, you know, and we just really want to be able to do what is necessary in looking at ourselves. Okay, now let's move on. It goes on to verse 11. Right? Since there are many things that increase vanity, how is man the better? Okay, then we talk about, since there are many things that increase vanity. The idea here is that there are many things that we pursue in life. There are things that we look for. Right? It could be, once again, it could be health, it could be wealth, it could be power, it could be longevity, it could be achievements. Many, many things that we want to look for. Yet, these things increase vanity. So that's a very interesting perspective or, you know, concerning life. Right? If you were to look at vanity or vanities, right? And do we do things that end, you know, that end up being vain? Of course, we don't want that to happen. But what Solomon is trying to say here is that when we increase things, our vanity actually also increases. And that's the reality of life, right? Because a lot of these things don't last. So you have that, you know, so Elon Musk was in that position of, you know, supposed to reduce federal funds and you know, to cut costs and things like that, right? And then Trump turns around and then he passes a bill that increases the by $3 trillion, you know, and then he's very upset. What's the whole point of doing that? Things don't last. Even positions don't last. Even whatever we have, that's the problem, you see. When we increase the things of this world that we want to hold on to, it also increases vanity. Right? And what happens? At the end of the day, man is not much better. You're no better. How are you better off in terms of satisfaction? How are you better off in terms of joy? How are you better off in terms of meaning in life? That is the challenge. And that is something for us to consider. Okay, and I'm going to quickly move on and then just to interact a little bit. Okay, and then in verse 12, we read, "For who knows what is good for man in life, all the days of his vain life which he passes like a shadow? Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun?" Right? And so this is a very sobering reality. Right? Who knows? So Solomon raises a very challenging question. What is really good for man? What is it that will ultimately be for your good? Right? Do all the pursuits of life, do they really end up being all that good for man? If all the days of his vain life, and then we also got to recognize how frail life is. It passes like a shadow. Death comes all too soon. So any Liverpool fan here? Right? Anyway, you know, just this week, a Liverpool player, right? very good player, very nice guy, and he was driving his Lamborghini, and you can buy whatever you want, right? And then he and his brother, they were driving along the highway, tire burst, crash, and he died. Just like that. Again, that is the reality of life. You can, so he just won a Premier League, that was always his dream, and, you know, plays for Portugal. Everything, all the dreams came true. But yet, life, like a shadow. Our lives are like a shadow. That is a reality that we all need to understand. And of course, just now, Chinky was just sharing about her colleague, you know, 50-something years old, gone. So what is it that we are looking at life? Right? And then he goes on to say, who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? What will happen after him? Who knows about the future? Everything is so uncertain. Life is so uncertain. That is the reality of life. So how? What is good? What is good for men? How would you approach life? Right? Because we all, I mean, let's ask ourselves, the many, many things that we pursue in life, ultimately, now, I don't mean you cannot make a living, I don't mean you cannot, you know, have families, I don't mean that, you know, all these things are valid. But how much of all the things that we have is really ultimately for good? Okay, let's ask ourselves a little bit. Okay, Lian, what do you think?
Actually, I have a question.
Yeah,
so,
go ahead. That's one way to approach it. Go ahead.
Because the first part, he basically is talking about how you cannot predict things in life.
Yeah.
And also, ultimately, with many pursuits, they end in futility, lah.
Yeah.
But so there seems to be this contention, right, between ambition, like pursuing things, versus contentment. So then, what does so-called godly ambition look like versus someone who is ambitious in a secular sense?
Precisely what you just said. What is godly? You got to bring in God one way or another. And that's the problem, you see. Sometimes we pursue things, you ask yourself, are we just saying, okay, you know, we need God's blessing, but is it really involvement of God, or are we just pursuing because it's what we want? Can you see the difference? We can bring in God, and we all as Christians, we do that. But is it deep down within your own heart? Is it really about yourself, or is it really about God? So there's nothing wrong with having a family. There's nothing wrong with getting married. There's nothing wrong with having a good career. All these things are God's blessings, right? But yet, at the same time, we can, once we have it, we can also set aside God. Once we have it, somehow, it all becomes all about us. It's no longer about God. Can you see the problem here? The problem is when we look at life and we are just pursuing all these things and we feel that, yes, it's valid and everybody is doing it. Everybody is looking for all these things. Right? So nowadays you have social media. Nothing wrong again. Right? In fact, as you say, everybody is able to be connected with the whole world and so on and so forth. But then after a while, it becomes, it's all about money. It's all about. So Chinky was telling me about, you know, she was in Raffles City or whatever. Then she met, suddenly saw a whole crowd. What were they doing there? They were waiting for the Ha sisters. You heard about the Ha sisters? You all know about Ha sisters? I actually don't know, no? Yeah. So anyway, right? And then So she said, oh, because she found out about that, she went to look at the video. I also went to look at the video. And it's all about good, about nothing, right? It's all about, oh, I go camping, I go and do this, and then it's like, but they make a lot of money. Right? Again, that's their so-called life, and that's what they're looking for. Right? But is that what I want? Of course. Probably not. So my question is, where is God in all these things? And I don't mean just for the sake of it, for the name. Oh, yeah, well, as Christian, we must somehow. But in reality, where is God? Right? Do we really bring in God? Right? Or do we, along the way, or what we have already, and then somehow we set a cycle? Until some problem comes along, okay, then we turn to God. What is it that we are really pursuing in life? Is it, you know, for you to think about, for us to consider? So you talk about contentment and discontentment, is it? This ambition, okay. So again, nothing wrong with being ambitious. But can we be too ambitious? Yeah. See, that's part of the problem. When ambition, you end up contending with God. That's my concern, you see. You end up going against God. You end up having to do the things that, you see, like for instance, so you will be Credit Suisse in the news today. Wow, big fine concerning the money laundering things and so, I understand this idea of anti-laundry because when I was working in a bank, they all gave this, and 30 over years already, they gave all these warnings. Must check carefully, check the background. So I remember there was this case where I had this guy, you know, and we looked at him, you know, and he's a foreigner, right? Do we have all his income, tax, and all those things and to check? We don't have. But then because he's a wealthy guy, in the end, we, you know what, we're not going to do this case. Because even though he's going to buy, you know, a property that's multi-million and so on and so forth. So I understand what they were talking about. But for the sake of the case, for the sake of getting the loan, and, you know, and so the means, does the end justify the means? Right? Now, wow, oh, kena. Millions of dollars of fines. So sometimes we ask ourselves, are we doing, because of ambition, do we end up contending with God? That's part of the problem. We go against God. We do things our own way rather than God's ways. That's part of the problem when you pursue things. Are we doing it in the way that is going to be honoring right before the Lord? Now, let's very quickly, you know, let's look at some things that will help us. What are we really ultimately pursuing? So let's go back to Hosea a little bit since we studied this during family camp. And in Hosea chapter 6, if you can remember, what is it that Hosea talked about? Let us know. Let us pursue. Verse 3. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. See, that's what we ought to pursue. In all the things that we do, so we may have what we call general, pursuits in life and so on and so forth. But ultimately, what is it that we are pursuing? We are pursuing the knowledge of God. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. He will bless. Right? But are we pursuing the knowledge of the Lord? But if you were to go to Hosea chapter 4, right? And then in verse 1, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. So you can pursue things, but at the end of the day, is there knowledge? Is there understanding? Is there truth? Is there mercy? That's part of the problem. So God had to encourage the people of Israel, return, right? Pursue the knowledge of the Lord. You can understand His power, His might, His blessings, His mercy, His grace. It is about the relationship that we ought to have with God. And when you are blessed by God because of that, then there comes that true satisfaction and joy. But if you are doing things that everybody else is doing, and there's no difference in how we approach things, and we set aside God, then I can tell you this. You can get what you are looking for, but you will never be spiritually satisfied. There will always be that nagging feeling that somehow we are not doing things right, and the sense of emptiness will be there. Okay, so this from the Old Testament perspective. Let's not go to the New Testament. Let's go to 2 Timothy. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, right, in verse 22, we read, "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, joy, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." But let's go back a little bit. Verse 20. "For in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter." So how are we living our lives? Right? Are we vessels of honor? Or vessels of dishonor? "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Right? So this is something that we want to be able to appreciate. Right? Cleanse, purge of the sins of this world. Sanctified, holy, and set apart. We talked about the fear of the Lord, right? Useful, profitable for the Lord to use. Prepared for every good work. That's how we serve. So those of us at the retreat, you know, those who are teaching and all, and we learn what it means to be the Son of Man, right? What kind of Son of Man are we? There you have Elijah. And you know, he was very specially anointed. And how do you know that he's truly the Son of Man? He is someone that is, you know, who prays and God hears and answers those prayers. And that's something that is very special. Now, you look at Timothy and, the idea of the man of God, sorry. And here in chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Same. Man of God. Old Testament, New Testament. Here it is, of course, with regards to Timothy. But it is how we want to be able to live our lives. What is it that we pursue? If we pursue youthful lusts, right? Pleasures, wealth, power, pride. See, part of the problem with youthful lusts. Now, he uses the word youthful lusts, right? Because for a young guy, he wants to do this, he wants to do that. There's sometimes a problem with arrogance and pride. But, you know, for many people, this so-called youthful lust continues into adulthood. And it continues to be something that they don't realize is there. Because it's something that is internal. And it remains. And we all look for all these things. But this is what Paul then counters. "But pursue righteousness." The word pursue here, the oko, It's also the word persecute. Right? So when you persecute someone, you do everything you can in your power, you're passionate about it, you persecute. Like Paul, you know, he chased after the Christians, he persecuted the Christians. Now, in this context, of course, it's not about persecution, but it has the same flavor. When you pursue in the same way. You pursue righteousness. You pursue faith, growing your faith. You pursue love, the love of the Lord. You pursue peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Right? Peace with fellow servants, with the Lord, with believers, with the church. Are we pursuing righteousness? That's the thing, see? So there's the danger. Danger of being proud and arrogant. Right? And, you know, we are not understanding that we are but men. And many people end up contending with God. Until something happens to help us realize you cannot pursue this. Right? And we realize that it's all in vanity. Yet, what is it that we are pursuing in terms that it is good and right? The knowledge of God. Are we pursuing the knowledge of God? Seriously, how much have we really learned? You look back over six months, how much have we really learned? So every time, every 6 months, I do a review. I run it through pastor, you know. So the trip is not about just doing all kinds of things. It's also to review. Right? That one is more my wife, so I just tag along. No lah. Right? But the point is that I take time to review. And I don't just write, you know, this. I write a six-page review of my ministry, of what I'm learning. You remember what was the morning worship was the 1st January and February was the theme? Do you remember? We all forgotten already. Abundant life. Right? See, we all forget. For me, it's, I need to review. I also forget, but I take time to review. I take time to recall. I take time to ask myself, what is it I actually learned? Right? Concerning God, concerning Christ. What is it that I'm really pursuing? Right? I review YAG, I review my Sunday school, I review special needs ministry that we have on Saturdays, I review choir, I review everything we got. I was going to say everything we got, but actually, pastor. Right? But really, it's really being able to take time to review. What is it that you have actually learned? Right? Because if not, 6 months is gone, and then before you know it, end of the year, 2025 is gone. And then we ask ourselves, what is it that we have actually grown in terms of faith, knowledge, and understanding? You know, ultimately, we all need to pursue righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. See, ultimately, that is the kind of feeling that we want to be able to have. Where it comes from pursuing righteousness. It's a very different thing. If we pursue the things of this world, and we just, okay, you know, God, please help. Okay, God will bless. But we also recognize it doesn't go beyond a certain level. But if we pursue righteousness, we will be filled. And that's what we want to pursue. Okay? Well, take time to think this through as you go into your groups and being able to think this through, right? Are we pursuing a life of righteousness? How are we growing in terms of our faith? Are we that much more loving towards God, again, you know, towards each other? Are we pursuing peace? These are the things that we ought to pursue in life. Alright? Okay, well, let's pray and then we can go into our groups. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for these words once again. And it's important for us to be very candid and open to ask ourselves, what is it that we are really pursuing? While we have different desires and ambitions, and there's nothing wrong in itself. And we recognize how valid those things can be. But yet at the same time, we also recognize how that we can be so caught up with the things of this world that we do not end up pursuing you, pursuing your knowledge, pursuing righteousness and the things that we ought to. So we pray, Lord, that you will help us to just take time to review all over again how our lives are really before you. And we pray that you will help us to really just draw closer to you as a result. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.